We must guard our hearts. And so for the next 14 minutes, yeah, I'm going to stop right at 12. What'd you say, Chris? I love the way this says it in the Message Bible, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It said, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. That's going to move me into guarding your heart. It's so easy for us to just get in with the culture and go along with the culture. But at some point, there's going to be a rub. As the righteous come forth, there's going to be a rub. It says you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to do it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That onus is on us. The King James simply says, present your body a living sacrifice, meaning it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to get before God, to stay before God, to continually yield ourselves. And as transformation takes place, then you and I, we guard our hearts, meaning the things that He has healed me from, the things that He has set me free from, the things that He has delivered me from. I guard my heart so that those things can no longer find a habitation. In Psalms 119, starting at verse 9, the writer says, wherewithal shall you, young man, cleanse his way. This is the King James Version. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Simply meaning getting the word in you. Allowing the word to take root in your heart. And then he says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Same verse in the Message Bible says, I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart. So I won't send myself bankrupt. The more words you have, becomes that plumb line. The more words you have on the inside of you becomes the gauge for everything else going on in your life. So it's in Proverbs 4 again, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart out of your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. With all diligence, keep your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Last week, I talked about the first point that was made. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And put devious speech far from you. I like how the Message Bible says it. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter. White lies and gossip. That's all the same. There are no such thing as white lies. It's just lying. It's just lying. The second point that he talks about is, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. King James, or the Message Bible says, keep your eyes straight ahead Ignore all sideshow distractions. Talking about a focused faith. Say focused faith. This walk is a disciplined walk. It's a disciplined walk of faith. So I like to say it this way, watch what you watch. Watch what you watch. We have so many things available to us. We got movies, we got shows, we got commercials, we got reels, we got posts, social media, we got the iPhone, the iPads, the computers. And all of that can produce visual content. And the thing that we have to make ourselves aware of is this. You must have discipline of spending your time in the Word of God and applying the Word in your everyday life. You will be most influenced by what you give the most time and attention to. So keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore the sideshow distractions. Watch what you watch. It's in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. It says this, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride, and the boastfulness, pride of life. It is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away. And also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all of that is all around us all the time. So you have to discipline yourself. Now I want you to understand you can't walk around like this. Can't do it. And I like to say it this way. It's not the first look, it's the second. It's the gaze. You're going to see some things. But here's what we have to understand about the enemy, and that is he can't read your mind, but he watches you. He watches you intently. He watches what you watch. So if we are drawn to certain types of entertainment, he watches that and figures out a way or tries to figure out a way to use that against us. Now, if you've given yourself to the Word of God, reading of scriptures, programs and things that feed your faith, he watches that too. Now he has more of a challenge trying to get to you. But when we spend our time and we're reading things and we're looking at things, that the content may be okay, but it's not producing any foundation, any faith foundation on the inside of us. Watch what you watch. The world today are the commercials, advertisements, they are there to entice in this area. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. You see an advertisement, you want it. I go to the car dealership and get my oil changed. I try to stay out of the showroom, out of the parking lot. Because if I get there and I keep looking, then I'm going to ask somebody something. Or they're going to ask me, can I help you, sir? Yeah. Yes, we just got this model in. Would you like to drive it? Test drive it? And this is where you have to be in a place where you are able to manage, and in a more specific way, crucify your flesh. Watch what you watch. You watch some movies, and depending on the kind of movies you watch, you can think that's the way life is supposed to be. Particularly if you watch the kind of romantic kind of things and you know, I'm looking up like this, so I'm not looking at anybody, but y'all know what I'm talking about. But it's not just those kind of movies. I have to be very careful of watching some of the movies that are that have the shooting in it and the, you know, and all of that. Because I can get pulled into it. I like the action. I studied martial arts. I like the action. But after a while, there's so much bloodshed. And the body count is so high, you know what it does? It makes you insensitive to what you see on the news. That's real. We have to be careful. Watch what you watch, because of AI, my God, they're putting stuff out there that looks just as real. And if you have no sense of discernment, I'm talking about Holy Ghost now. Because some of it, you really look at it and you can't tell the difference. You got to watch what you watch. So you have to learn to believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Yeah, that's old school. Maybe that's somewhere in the Bible. I don't know. I'm not going to quote that like chapter and verse. But times, technology, where we're at today, we need discernment. And your heightened, mature discernment will come out of your time in the Word and being in the presence of God and in times of prayer, fasting and prayer. They've got the kind of technology now where they can take a child and an AI can show you the grown version of that child or what they think is going to be the grown version of that child. I love our children. We're on the phone and we're texting in group and my daughter was talking about that kind of app. My son David said, "I don't need to see that." He said, "I don't need to see nothing in the future." He said, "I'm content looking at what's here right now. My babies just as they are right now." Because how many of you know you can AI it all you want, but there's factors that AI won't factor in. Like relationships and upbringing and community and wherever. All those things get factored in. What AI can't do is factor in the heart. So we must learn to manage and walk in a mature place that we don't give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. In Jude 1 and 11, it speaks to it yet in a different way. It says, "For they have gone the way of Cain." Now you remember Cain slew Abel. "And for the pay, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam." Remember Balaam, the prophet? Balaam was trying to prophesy for money. And God sent a donkey to stop him. That ought to be encouraged for some of us. He can use a donkey, say he can use me. Got a chance. It says, "and perished in the rebellion of Korah." The rebellion of Korah. How many of y'all remember the rebellion of Korah? Raise your hand. If you remember, how many of y'all know about the rebellion of Korah? Let me see your hands. Okay, I don't see enough hands. Rebellion of Korah. Let me see. Raise your hands high. If you know what the rebellion of Korah is, raise your hand high. Oh, my God. Okay, so we're going to have to get more into the text and the scripture. Korah was one with Moses. Who went to Moses and said, "How is it that you the guy? I can do this." And a couple of other guys got on it with him too. Yeah, we all could do this too. And Moses just starts stepping back. I'm paraphrasing. The ground opened up and swallowed all of them. and their families and their children and their grandchildren. God took care of that spirit right then. Close back up. Moses stepped back up. My time is up, so I'm going to end out.